Hi everyone, for our day 30 for our Vital Life Dealing with Fear Challenge. And we are on the good old day 30, one more day before we finish this. I know that I've enjoyed this thoroughly and I am hoping that you have, and I've seen all the comments that you guys have also enjoyed and got a lot out of this time together, as we have all of us have gone through and are going through this whole corona, COVID-19, coronavirus, and all the other things that are taking place right now in our different countries, for all of those who are watching. So it's good to be back on day 30. I have just been told again that I'll be off the road all the way to the end of June. So I'm not even going to be on the road until June. This has been a crazy time, as I have been so used to being on the road and on planes and flying and traveling and speaking all over the country. And now suddenly I have been staring at a camera for the last month and a bit, and now I've been told that we are not going to be back on the road until the end of June as well. And of course, as I thought of this, you know, the enemy's so crafty. He wants to bring fear. He wants to bring all these things to us, but you know, we're not going to let him. That's what this whole challenge has been about, is not allowing fear to be our master, to master us. I want to bring a scripture today on Hebrews, and if you have ever read a book in the Bible that really explains this, the gospel of God's grace and mercy and goodness and the whole new covenant, old covenant, Hebrews is it. And though a lot of people get confused with Hebrews, I've been really thinking about doing a study on Hebrews, live study, taking us through that, because there's so much treasure and depth in the book of Hebrews. As we are a home, this is a beautiful place to start. But Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1, check this out. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, people who have gone before, people who have experienced similar things that we have and worse things, but they are now witnesses to not us, but to what He has. What is a witness? A witness is to an event. What event? To Christ and what He has done in our lives. Since we have this great cloud of witnesses cheering us on, and Paul immediately takes us on this this aspect of a race that is taking place here. Let us throw off every encumbrance. I looked at the Greek there, and the word there stands for weights and burdens. Let's throw off our weights. Let's throw off our burdens. And the sin, and this hamateia means missing the mark, but it's interesting, as you look at the Greek, it means simply this, that is with that which is not empowered by God. Let's throw off the things that are not empowered by God, that are not generated from God, not from us. You know, we every time we think of the word sin, and every time we read the word sin in the Bible, we always thinking about the classic sins, drinking and smoking and partying, and then hanging around with those that do, you know, that type of stuff. And Paul is not thinking about that when he's talking about sin. He's so very specific, and this is not Paul, but, or we don't know it's Paul or not, but Paul or any of these, when they think about sin, it's about what's not empowered, what is not, what those things that don't come from the heart of God. And that is a broad aspect, that's bigger than just, you know, the sins that we so take, you know, as sin. It is, if we are doing things in our strength, if we are doing things in our ability, if we, and that could be, hey, by the way, and I'm going to get to this, that could be good things. That could be things that are good. Could be sin because it's not empowered by God. And I want to get on, I'll get onto that in a second. That so easily ensnares or entangles us, these weights, these burdens, these things that are not empowered by God, just fill our minds. They can entangle us, take us off the wrong path, slow us down, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Let us, I love this, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Oh man, there's so much truth in that. Not only is he the author of our faith, in other words, he's the one that produces faith in us. That's why I love to look at, you know, people quote that scripture, if Jesus saying, if you just have faith like a mustard seed, you'll move mountains. And we go, you know, we look at that as, oh man, I don't even have faith like a mustard seed. No, what Jesus is telling us is, listen, you don't have to have a lot of faith to do things. I am the one that creates faith in you. I am the author of your faith. I am the one that generates faith. Just ask me. Don't you try and generate faith. We have made faith as the cornerstone and saying, you know what? Yes, faith. And if I don't have enough faith, bad, you know, I'm so bad. No, he is the author of our faith. He is the one that produces faith in us. There goes a burden. There goes a weight. So many Christians running around, I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough. These things are happening because I don't have enough faith. And faith is so... Relax. You know? Just calm down. He is the author. Not only is he the author, he's the finisher of your faith. Man, if I am the one who's writing the book, I am the author, and I'm the one who's going to finish this, I'm going to make sure I finish it. Not you. It's not your responsibility to finish it. He's the author. Just keep your eyes on the author. Just say, you know what? I don't know how this race is going to finish. I don't know how we're going to get to the other side. I'm just keeping my eyes on you. You're the one who's going to do it, Lord. I'm relaxed. I'm not going to allow all this other stuff to weigh me down. And I'm going to bring this all together in a second. So check this out. And the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down. I love that. And sat down. You know what that means? There is no more panic. Jesus is not panicking about you. Jesus is not panicking about whether you're going to make it, whether you're going to be a good enough Christian, whether you're going to get it right. He's not panicking. He sat down. What does that illustrate? There's no panic in him. He knows you're going to make it. He's done enough. That's why he said on the cross of Calvary, it is finished. What does it mean? It is finished. It's literally finished. All that striving, all that fretting, all that worrying about your faith and about whether you're going to get to heaven or whether you're going to, you know, be a good Christian, all that stuff, it's finished. All that stuff that the Old Testament was so worried about, law, and are you going to be good enough? Finished. At the cross of Calvary. I just keep my eye on him. I just keep my faith on him. And here we go. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. How many Christians are losing heart? How many Christians are growing weary? This COVID-19, we don't know how long it's going to last, but I want to encourage you, don't grow weary. Don't grow weary of doing good. Don't grow weary of this thing. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the one who's going to give you the strength you need. He is the one who's going to give you the ability to run this race. It's not about you. Too many Christians, it's so about them. Am I doing enough? Am I doing enough? You're not doers. You just be. You rest in him. He is the one who has finished. He is the conqueror. He is the one that is working out your salvation in you. He is the one that is perfecting you. He is the one that's cleaning you. He is the one that is healing you. He is the one that is doing the work. What is your job? Your job is to allow him to do it. Your job is to receive. Your job is to allow him to change you and not to fight it and not to try and do it your way. Check this out. Here is your challenge. Throw off the weights and burdens. What are weights and burdens? Obligations, self-inflicted regulations, things that you put yourself under, promises that you make, and things that you say you must do, that you will do for him or for others and so on. Throw those things off. They ensnare you. Throw off those things that are not empowered and purposed by God in your life. Anything that is not empowered and purposed, plans that God has for you that are his plans, things that are not his plans, throw those things off, because all those things do is weigh you down. There's a scripture in the Old Testament. It talks about God talking about the Israelites going down to the river and using foot pumps. You see, in the old days, in those days, when they lived in Egypt, the Israelites used these things called foot pumps, and they pumped the water from the Nile into their vegetable gardens, to water their gardens. And when God told them to leave Egypt, he gave them that promise, he said something very interesting. He said, you go into a land where the rain will fall on the mountains, and the rain will then wash down from the mountains. There won't be any foot pumps for you. You won't have the Nile. In the new land, the rain is going to fall on the mountains and come down and water your gardens. And what God was saying to them was simply this: you can't depend on your own strength, your own ability to pump the water to water your gardens. You're going to have to trust me that I will rain on the mountain and let that rain wash down and water your gardens. There are too many foot pumps in churches, in our lives, in our homes, where we're pumping stuff that isn't purposed by God, and we're wondering why it's failing and it's not working in our lives. The reason it's not working is because God only... things will work when God is behind it. But if God is not behind it, it will fail every single time. Whatever that thing might be, we got to stop pumping things that aren't working anymore. Things in our homes, things in our lives, things in our marriages, not our marriage, in our marriage, things that we, and in the way that we deal with our kids, the day in our businesses, it's time to throw those things off. This has been a great time for us to look at ourselves and say, what are the things in our lives that are not from God? Things that are not empowered by Him? Things that we've been doing just because we've got to survive, that we have to, you know, we become so got into such structures in our lives. And this is a time where we've had to look back and go, have I been doing a lot of pumping? Have I been wearing myself out? Have I been tired and exhausted in just trying to get by day to day because I've been pumping my foot pump and I've not believed that there's a God that is wanting to show us better ways? Because here it is. What do we put on? Matthew 11:27. All things have been committed, Jesus speaking, to me and my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal. Man, that's a truth there. God, Jesus wants to reveal to us the real Father, not the God that so many people portray in religion, but Daddy. Father, we spoke about that yesterday. I'm not going to go into that. Oh man, there's so much truth in this. I just want to unwrap it, but I can't. Come to me, all who are weary. This is Jesus. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Are you tired? Were the things you were doing before this coronavirus hit, before you were quarantined at home, were you getting to points where you were exhausted? That you were didn't even have time for your kids at night because you'd come home from work and you were exhausted because you had a hard day, and you'd take out the frustrations that you got at work on your family that God has gifted you with. I'm telling you this not to make you condemned. That's me. But because there were many things I was doing in my life that weren't empowered by God. And Jesus is saying, come to me, those who are weary, that are heavy laden. And it's almost like he's come to a point where he's saying to us, you know what, I'm slowing you all down right now. I'm slowing you down so that you can start to differentiate between the foot pumping that you've been doing and faith and belief in what I want to do in your lives. The way that I want to do it. And my ways are not your ways. It's not your way. And watch what he says. Come to me, a weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Peace. Rest. Take my yoke and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. Do you need to find rest at this time? This is a great time that we can rest in Him. This is not lazy. So many people think, oh, you know, resting is lazy. No, it's a life empowered by God. It's a life empowered by the Spirit. It's a life doing things so that we're not wearing ourselves out. That when we do it His way, God doesn't want to wear us out. He doesn't want us to become so, there's so many Christians burning out. Flaming out, so many pastors, so many people who have been doing it foot pumping for so long. And this is the time to step back and go, I need to look at these things that entangle me in my race. Things that I've been doing just because everyone else has been doing it. Just because that's the right thing to do. It's the, you know, do not work, do not eat. And we use these things. And so we take all this work as, and we're not realizing that God is speaking in all of this and going, can I show you a better way? That doesn't mean you're lazy, but a way that you're not always weary and tired, that you can get into the work with the people that really mean something, your family, your friends. God's always going to put relationship before everything else. And if you've been so weary and tired that you couldn't build relationships in your life, that you have been neglecting your marriages, you've been neglecting your families, and you're so burnt out and tired because of that, maybe you should ask yourself, has this been empowered by God? Because things that are empowered by God are not weary inducing, not tiring. They are things that will give you rest and you will look at them and go, my gosh. Even though I'm doing this, I'm full of energy. I'm full of His power. He empowers it. If you're dragging yourself out of bed every morning, ask yourself, is this the Lord? Is this what He wants for me? I can't do this without Him. I need His power. And He gives power. He gives power where it's His purpose. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. When God blesses something, God empowers something. When God once is in it, His power is in it. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. Maybe that was a little all over the place today. And I'm hoping that I got the message across is simply this. We're running a race. We're going to be back again soon. We'll be back into whatever we are doing. But I believe that we'll never be the same. Things will never be the same as they were before this coronavirus and COVID-19 and same thing. But all of this. Things are going to be different. And for us as Christians, let's not get back into the rat race. You know what? Why it's called the rat race? Because it was meant for rats. We are not the rats. We are King's kids. We don't need to be walking around like zombies and tired and exhausted and pumping. Cast off those things that are not empowered by God, the author of Hebrews tells us. Cast off the weights and burdens, and then Jesus tells us, now pick up a new yoke. Cast off those things, pick up a new one. Because my yoke is easy, my burdens are light. Learn from me. And we've been talking about this whole time. And I will give you rest. Enjoy your rest. Enjoy this time. I think we can be more productive and do more things when we do it from a place of rest and a place of sitting down rather than a place of running around in circles, not knowing what the heck next to do. We always, that's what the new covenant is all about. We start from a place of rest. We don't start from a place of panic. Bless you guys. Tomorrow, I'm going to end this 31-day challenge with a word that I've been actually saving up since day one. And it's been growing in me, growing in me, growing in me. And I'll give you a little hint. It's going to be called, What's Your Name? Because when we come out of this at the end, I believe God's going to give us a new name. A new name, not that old name that we have seen ourselves as, but something new. And I'm excited about tomorrow's challenge because it's a culmination of the 31 days that we have been working on. So tune in, check it out. I'm excited to share it. I've been wanting to share it for a long time, and it's almost like the Holy Spirit has said, hold off for day 31. And so that's what I'm going to do. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Vicky and Jillian and Lamina and Ken and Dee and all of the guys that have joined today. Check out my podcast on Vital Life Connection with Oren Rudolph. Check out my website, orenrudolph.com, or go on YouTube. I do have a bunch of stuff there too. If you wanted to get into a little bit more of the messages that I've preached across the country, go to my website or my podcast, and you can check those out over there. But God bless you guys, and I'm praying. Believe me, every day I am praying for you guys that God is going to continually work His power and His peace in you. And He who began a good work is going to be faithful to complete whatever He's doing in you through this time. And not only in you, in your family as well. So God bless you guys. Please share the video. Let it send out this message for more people to hear. And to hear the message of His goodness and His grace. Thank you, guys. God bless you.